Hi, I'm Billy, and this is Unlock Your Child's Full Potential podcast, where we equip parents with practical ideas on how to nurture their children's best selves. Can you imagine what life looks like with 10 kids? A mix of biological and adopted, a blend of public school and homeschooling, and a schedule bursting with over 20 weekly appointments? Meet Laura Hernandez, a powerhouse mom in the heart of Dallas, who turned chaos into calm, creating a haven of peace in her bustling household. In this episode, Laura and I are diving deep into the secrets of her mama systems, the lifeline she crafted over years of trial and error. We're tackling the burning question: how do systems and routines transform the daily juggle, making it not only manageable, but also a source of joy? Laura's journey, from reading countless books to realizing that the perfect answer didn't exist, led her to create systems tailored for her unique family. Now, she's on a mission to share these invaluable life hacks with you. We'll explore how implementing routines can lighten the load, allowing you to be present with your kids without drowning in housework. Join us as we uncover the magic of systems, discover the art of delegation, and learn how your family can operate as a harmonious team. Laura Hernandez is not just a mom of 10. She's your guide to a more peaceful home. Let's dive in. Hi, Laura. It's an honor to have you here. A proud mama of 10. That's an accomplishment in itself. And I know some days I feel so overwhelmed taking care of three kids. And you say you live calmly and peacefully. So tell me more. I want to know more. How old are your kids? How does a typical day look like for you?
Yeah, our oldest is 17 and our youngest is 4. They're all kind of crammed in there. We adopted a sibling group of 3 out of foster care. So some of them are like same age, right around the same age. There's a little cohort of people that are about the same age. So it makes for exciting all the time, right? We have learned how to get out of that survival mode because so much of what we lived when they first came to live with us was survival. And I finally realized, you know what, we can't live this way. And so I had to put some systems in place. But like so many, I'm sure, I've tried to put things in place that worked for other moms, and it didn't work for us because our family was so unique. And what I've learned is that every family is so unique. You could say, like, okay, anybody with 3 kids, you can put this into place. But really, your personality, your schedule, your husband's schedule, your kids' temperaments, whether they're at school or at home, like all these different nuances make you and your family so unique and make that system not valid for you. So I've learned instead that trying to fit systems into our lives is creating systems around our lives. And the process that we walk through is kind of the same with everybody, figuring out what makes you and your family tick, what your gifts are, what your abilities are, what things can we get rid of.
I love systems and routines. And I guess that's the reason you can stay on top of things despite having so many responsibilities and so many people.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to figure out what is important to you because you could be trying to stick things into your routine that everybody else has or that you desire to have, and it's not all fitting in there because something's got to give, right? And so we really have to prioritize what we want to make happen and what we want to matter. And so an example of this for me is I love my morning time. Like I've learned that if I don't have time by myself in the morning, the whole day just kind of goes awry. I start off in a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood towards my kids. I'm just not liking who I am in the morning if I don't get that time. And so what I've learned is that that time really starts at 5 o'clock the night before because I need, when I wake up, for the house to be picked up. I don't like walking out and having stuff everywhere. It stresses me out. I need the coffee to be made when I walk out. I need kids to be ready for school. Like they have all their stuff ready. So we're not like scrounging around and I don't want to get up from having my coffee to have to go find a shoe, right? Like, I don't want to be searching the house for a shoe. So, these are some things that I've noticed about myself and made a system for the night before. So, at 5 o'clock, one of the things that we do is we have our 5 o'clock jobs. This is very creative on our part, cool, what we call it. But in those jobs, everybody has 3 things that they're in charge of. So, number one, they each are supposed to get ready for the next day. And so that could be depending on the kid and depending on what they have the next day. That's making their lunch, laying out their clothes, finding their shoes, finding their glasses, getting paper signed. Whatever those things are for that kid, those all need to be done during that 5 o'clock job time. The next responsibility they each have is doing something for dinner. So this helps kind of build the teamwork mentality in our home because we're all working together and we're all trying to get towards a common goal, which is dinner, because we all love to eat, right? But that way we're all working together and making that happen. So for little ones, it could be putting spoons on the table. And for my older one, it could be entertaining a baby while I'm trying to cook. So depending on the kid, depending on their abilities, everybody has a little job for that. And then finally, everybody has a zone that they're in charge of. And this could be a space like the living room. So you need to pick up the living room, or it could be Legos. Like, I need you to pick up all the Legos around the house. Go find all the Legos, and that's your zone. That's your area where you are in charge of. And I think it's important to be really specific in those things because I know that when I walk into a room and there's stuff everywhere, I can feel so overwhelmed. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know where to start because there's so much. I'm sure we have all felt that way. But I think our kids definitely feel that. And they don't have the tools yet to know, like, okay, why don't I start with picking up the trash? Okay, why don't then I do blankets and then I do pillows, then I do toys. Like, they don't have those abilities yet. And so if we can help train them and teach them, just pick out one thing in this room and I want you to find all of that. So you are in charge of blankets and pillows. Just find the blankets and pillows and pick those up. And that way they can learn how to break down tasks a little better and start tackling bigger tasks on their own.
Amazing. You know what comes to mind? 5 p.m. What about the rest of the night? Isn't the house messy again in a few hours? My house looks messy all the time. They start playing somewhere and then they take out the toys and more toys and more toys. How do you motivate them to clean after themselves every time? Because they don't like to do that.
Yeah, they don't like to do that. One of the phrases I've loved to use, and I wish I would have learned this earlier on, but it's the phrase, yes, but first. So your kids want to watch a show. Yes, you can watch a show, but first I need you to clean up the living room. Once you clean up the living room, then we can turn on a show. And so they've already asked you for what they want, and you know that's a motivating factor for them. And so what do you need done? What do you need to have them do before they turn on the show or before they go outside to play? And just kind of always peppering everything with that, it kind of teaches them that responsibility of like, okay, I need to get my stuff done first before I go play, or I need to get my stuff done first before I have this reward, you know?
Okay. Yeah, amazing. And what about if one of them doesn't do the work they're supposed to? Do the other ones get aggravated about that? Because, oh, I'm doing my job and she isn't. It's not fair. Do you have situations like that?
Well, I think that getting specific about responsibilities is really helpful with that, because when I come back into the living room and there's still blankets and pillows on the floor, I know exactly who to talk to about that. I'm like, Sam, you need to come in here and do your job. He's being reminded, but I'm not telling everybody, you guys, I told you to clean up this room. Why isn't the room clean? Well, he didn't. That's when all the bickering comes in, because then we're all blaming everybody else. It's not my fault and whatever. But if I know each kid has a certain job and Henry's in charge of picking up the Paw Patrol toys, and Andrew's in charge of picking up the other toys, and then Sam's in charge of blankets and pillows, I know exactly who to talk to of like, hey, buddy, you missed some toys over there in the corner. Can you go get those? And it just becomes very matter of fact. This is what we're doing. We're not going to rotate jobs every week so that we get confused by things. Our goal is to keep things simple so that you can remember how to be the manager of your home. Like, you're going to create this beautiful system, and then we're going to stick to it. So that way you remember it and you can continue to reinforce it with your kids.
Okay, so chores stay the same for a long period of time for each of the kids.
Yes.
Don't they get bored, or it's better for them to do the same thing again and again?
Well, I personally think it's better simply because, like I said, I'm not having to keep track of it all. And I think that there's a lot of confusion. We're not really clear about things. If I were to say everybody go do their jobs and they just changed, I'd probably hear a lot of, I don't know what my job is. And then I have to be like, oh great. Well, where did I write it down on? Like, okay, let me go find it. While I'm looking for it, people are wandering off and going and finding other things to do. And then like trying to gather everybody back up again. And like it's just too much time and too much energy on my part. And so I mean, we'll change things maybe about once a year when the new school year starts and things kind of shift or schedule shift. But other than that, we try to keep it pretty basic across the board and give my kids opportunities to learn how to clean other things. And they have opportunities to do other things around the house. So it's not like they're not learning how to unload the dishes or not learning how to vacuum a room, right? We're going to give them those opportunities to teach them how to become great independent adults when they leave our house. But just for the day-to-day picking up and maintaining the household as a team, I found it's best to just kind of keep everybody in their playing positions.
I love that. And this way you don't have to keep nagging. Did you clean the room? Did you do the dishes? It's much easier that way. I love it. Hey, amazing parents out there. Are you tired of those eye rolls and backtalk from your preteen? Ever wonder if there's a way to bridge the communication gap and build a stronger connection? Imagine a future where your preteen seeks your guidance willingly, calls you first in times of trouble, and opens up about their challenges. Picture a harmonious dynamic where you both work together seamlessly. Well, the good news is you don't have to imagine anymore. Download my free guide, Unlocking Preteen Communication, 10 Secrets to Stronger Bonds. Learn the common communication mistakes parents make and the tiny tweaks that create a massive impact. It's time to crack the code on preteen communication and strengthen the bond with your child. Click the link in the show notes and let's make those connections thrive. What about your routines? Because I have a few in place that help me stay organized, like always doing laundry in the evening. In the morning, I have a fresh load I can put in the dryer. So I know every evening I have to do that. Or every evening I turn on the dishwasher. So in the morning, I have clean dishes and I have somebody to unload the dishes. So these are a few that I remember a few years ago I didn't have. And it was overwhelming because I had to think, okay, do I have to do laundry today or not? And now I know I just do laundry every night.
I love that. Yeah, I love taking out that decision fatigue factor and kind of how I define systems in and of themselves or anything that can take the brain work off of us as moms, because we have so much going on in our minds all the time and we're keeping up with so much. And so anything that we can assign to a day, assign to a time of day, that's amazing. That's a system. Or anything that we can take off our plate altogether and automate it, like through a schedule or a routine or anything like that, that's a system. Because it's taking it off of your plate. You're not having to sit there and think, what am I supposed to be doing today? I thought I was going to do this, but you know what? The floors look really gross, so I probably need to mop those. Like, there's just so much all the time in our heads. But if I know, hey, on Friday, that's when I'm going to do my deep cleaning, it's spoken for. I don't need to worry about it the rest of the week. Like, we can do our pickup and our cleaning, like day-to-day stuff, but the deep cleaning stuff is happening on Friday. And for us, we do a laundry day. So it's kind of not the same thing, but it's kind of the same thing in that I know exactly when we're doing our laundry and when I'm putting it away and when we're getting it all done. And so that way the rest of the time, I'm not worried about, do I need to do this? It's not just those nagging questions all the time, because everything is assigned to something.
Do you have to write it down, or it's just a setup and you'll remember?
Yeah, I think that because we've been doing it for so long, I just remember. But at first we wrote everything down and had everything written out. For the kids, we do create charts for them. And that just helps, you know, if people are like, I forgot what I'm supposed to do. I'm like, okay, go get your chart. I don't need that going around in my head, right? I can just say, hey, go look at the chart. And the chart in itself is clear, precise. They know what they're supposed to be doing and they can do it on their own.
And they can mark when they've done something and feel accomplished.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So what's your favorite system? It could be not the housework. It could be business, because you're a work at home mom. What's your favorite one? The one that you would recommend to any mom out there?
I think my morning time has been the most life-giving for me, just across the board. One of the things that, you know, we talked about the 5 o'clock jobs kind of feeding into that and making that for a calmer morning. But another thing that I think that has really helped is kind of having a space prepared for me. And so by that, I mean like our fireplace area, I have a chair that I sit in, and by that chair, I have my book and my Bible and my journal and all the things that I want to like be intentional with in the morning. I have those all sitting right there. This helps because I'm not like, oh crud, what did I do with that? Where did I put that? Oh, I need to go get a pen, and like getting up, because once I get up from my spot, I'm done. Like, I just get so distracted with all the things around me. And so this just helps me stay focused and really be intentional with that time by being intentional with my space around me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yes. How much time do you need in the morning? Like, how much earlier do you wake up?
I used to kind of roll out of bed like 10 minutes before and just try to have a cup of coffee. But I think the more I started enjoying that and the more I could see that I do so much better when I have more time, I kind of started creeping it up a little bit. And so I wake up at 5:10 and I have to get up first kid at 6. So everybody has differing schedules. Another thing we've done to make this very successful is by putting alarms on my phone. And that may seem annoying to some, but what it's helped me do is not check the clock every 2 minutes. So I know at 6 o'clock, Hannah's alarm's going to go off and I need to go get Hannah up because she has to be on the bus at 6:30. At 6:15, I need to go get the boys upstairs up because they have to leave by 6:40. And then at 6:55, another alarm goes off to go get two other kids up because they have to be on the bus at 7:30. So
that sounds like a lot.
it is a lot. And it was like, okay, wait, do I need to leave at what time? So I need to get them up at what time? Like, I felt like it was just constantly trying to problem solve in my head when I needed to get everybody up and when we needed to get out the door and all the things. But setting those alarms, like sitting down, planning at once, and then setting those alarms with the name on it, get Hannah up, has like changed my life. And I realize that seems a little extreme, but it's like during that time, I can just be in that time. I don't have to worry about the time.
Oh, that's amazing. I can't imagine so many. Why don't they have their own alarm clocks and just have them do it by themselves?
Well, that's a really good question. Three of them, I wouldn't trust to do that in the slightest.
You know your kids.
And then the boys upstairs, our littlest one is supposed to be sleeping up there. He ends up in our bed most nights, but he's supposed to be sleeping up there. And I don't want him to wake up when he actually sleeps up there. I would rather him sleep more. And so I just go get them up because I don't want to deal with an up baby, you know?
Yeah. Where did you get the courage to have such a large family?
I like that you use the word courage. Thank you for that. Yeah, I've just always wanted a bunch of kids, first of all. But after we had number five is when we adopted the sibling group of three. And that felt just like an obedience thing. It felt like we're supposed to be doing that. And so we need to walk in obedience to that. And then the other two were a fun surprise. I'm not arguing. I like them. They're really sweet.
Are you done? Or are you planning more?
I think we're done. I think we're tapped out here.
Okay. What are some of the ways you nurture the connection with your children? Having such a large family, you probably have to be really intentional about paying attention to each one of them.
Yeah, I think being a student of my kids has been one of the best ways to do that, and learning like how they feel loved and how they feel connected to you and kind of paying attention to their little cues of what they need and when they need it. Let's take Benjamin, for example. Sweet boy will come over and start rubbing my back when he needs to be loved on. And so I'll be like, come snuggle with me. Let's read a book. Like, he's physical touch, loves that quality time. And so I can just kind of tell whenever he's kind of aching for that. And so we'll just stop what we're doing and take that moment to do that. Some of the other ones, you can tell that they're needing some quality time just by their meltdowns and their attitudes. That does not feel logical to me always, because I'm like, I don't want to hang out with you because you're acting like a teen, you know? But I think knowing that about them and then knowing how to kind of feed their little souls despite that, I think it's been a really good lesson for me to learn.
What about if a few of them need you at the same time?
I mean, I have a very large lap. So there's a lot of snuggling. There's a lot of reading books. We can sit and watch a show and snuggle on the couch and like a little mother hen, just taking them all under her wing. We do that a lot. Or we play games. I feel like playing games is really good, easy. Everybody can be involved. I think that's how we make that happen.
What's your favorite game?
I love Ticket to Ride, but only our bigger kids can play that. We're working on Uno with a four-year-old, but everybody else can play Uno. And so I think that's my favorite because everybody can play.
And do they get together well with one another? Or there are some teams forming between them?
Yeah, I think it depends on the day. It's really interesting how it all plays out and how they kind of group together. Because some days they'll play really well with Hannah. And then other days, she's the only, my oldest is a girl, but she's 17. And so then there's 8 boys and 2 girls. And so a lot of the, there's a lot of little boys and then Hannah. And the sweet girl, she gets left out a lot. So it depends on the day with like how they're feeling about her and how inclusive they are of her. So there's a lot of trying to referee that whenever they're not being loving brothers like they should be.
And do you have some special way of handling conflicts, like letting them figure it out by themselves, or just being present and keeping the peace? Do you have some kind of approach?
Yeah, I think that's very dependent on the child. We try for the most part to let them work it out by themselves, because I think that's, I mean, that's life. We want them to learn and have those tools, right? And so then kind of our next step of like, have you tried to work it out by yourself? Okay, then you can come ask for help. And so then we'll try to help them resolve it and deal with whatever it is. If it's something that I can hear from the other room, and I know exactly, like there's 2 in particular that I'm like, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if one kid's crying, I know exactly who did it. I know, like, you know your kids, right? And so I think that with those cases, I'll typically just call that kid in. It's like, we need you to come here. We need to talk. And we have to talk through it once again.
And are you able always to keep your calm in those triggering moments? Are you able to hold it together and be calm, explaining to them how they're supposed to act?
Yeah, I think for the most part, and I think that just because I've been practicing, so I also have a problem where I can't, you know, people talk about like yelling. People talk about like yelling at their kids. My voice, I can't yell. I have a hard time. So even when I'm like, guys, be quiet. Like I have to, I'm like, Tony, would you do that for me? Because I can't be that loud.
Sweet problem.
I don't recall the last time I've yelled at a kid, but I did the other day. And he just, I was telling him something. And he just kept walking. I was like, Charlie, come back. Charlie, come back. So I was like, Charlie. And he was like, you're yelling at me. I was like, no, you're not paying attention. But it was the first time that I remember like actually yelling at one of my kids, because I'm not saying that because I'm so perfect. Like, know that I have all the like yelling thoughts in my head. So please don't hear me say that I'm perfect or I've got this down. I think that I just know how quickly my voice just gives, and I can't let myself go there because it just escalates everything and it just does not work well for us. So
I was just thinking, do you have time of peace and quiet besides the 1 hour in the morning? It could be a lot.
Yes, it can be a lot. So it depends on the day. I try to figure out those times of self-care and really prioritize those, because I know how important that is. Just continually as a mom, you're pouring yourself out. And so we've got to be able to take care of ourselves. We've got to be able to prioritize ourselves and our energy levels and our love tanks and all the things about us that make us apart from our kids. We got to take care of that. And so I think finding those times throughout the week, whether that's doing counseling for an hour a week, or going and getting a massage, or going to the chiropractor, like whatever those things are that fill you up, really creating space around those to make them happen.
I do believe self-care is very important, because you could feel when you're depleted how there's no way that you're going to be able to respond in the right way to a triggering situation. So one of the things I'm currently doing, because I love to wake up early in the morning before the kids, and I take an hour or so just to have a guided meditation and then do a cold plunge. We recently bought one of those inflatables, and it's an amazing start of the day. It just resets your whole system.
It sounds so cold to start your day that way.
Yeah, so but it's a shock to the system. So after that, you're much calmer, ready to take it all in. Is there anything else you would like to talk today that we didn't have a chance to touch upon?
No, this has been so fun chatting with you. I would love to share a little self-care guide that I have.
Awesome.
To kind of walk you through how to create a good self-care system. Like just thinking about on a practical level, how can I take care of myself today? What does my body need today? Is that lighting a candle before the kids come home and just taking 5 deep breaths? Like, what do I need and when do I need it? And then once we create that plan, figuring out how to ask for help in those things. So I would love to share that with you, just for you to share with your audience, if that's okay.
Amazing. Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes. And would you like to tell people where they can find you and further connect with you And they would like a personalized system for their own life.
Yeah, which would be so fun. Mamasystems.net is my website, and then I'm at Mamasystems on Instagram and Facebook.
Thank you so much for listening and letting me be a part of your day. Don't forget to subscribe so you get notified when a new episode drops. I'll see you next week.